And I was thinking back to a time when I went on a great road trip with some friends of mine. We were kind of just in that university kind of phase, and we were kind of wrapping up that time in our life. And there was three guys and myself who decided just to go on a road trip. And this was a fun time. Our whole plan revolved around going to Malibu go-kart racing in Kelowna. All right? That was like the plan. That was it. We were living in Victoria at the time, so the road trip plan was we were going to go to Kelowna on this weekend and go-kart racing. It's all we had. We got to use the van of one of the guy's parents. It was a Dodge Caravan Sport, so it was our sports car that we had for our epic road trip. And so the four of us set off on this journey up to Kelowna to go-kart racing. And we did that, and it was great. And then we're like, now what? Because we had the whole weekend. We had nothing else really to do. So we headed down to Osoyoos, and we went camping there, had some fun there. And as we're driving back, we stopped in Manning Park to have kind of our breakfast lunch thing, because we were just the time of the day we were heading back towards Victoria. And we had left with us this huge, like huge pack of bacon, right? And about 2 dozen eggs, I think it was. Maybe a dozen and a half or 2 dozen eggs for the four of us. And so what we did was, We had this camp stove and this big frying pan that kind of sat over both burners, and we cooked up all of the bacon, right? And we left a bunch of the grease from the bacon in the pan and then cracked in all of the eggs, right? And we actually snapped a picture of this kind of brownish yellow stuff and labeled it breakfast, right? Because that's what it was. It was just this, it was an awesome time, right? And it's so much fun as I think back to it, and just those guys, you know, one of them was in my wedding party, and we just had so much fun together on this epic road trip. But, you know, road trips are one of those spaces where you want to be on a road trip with the right people. Am I right? Because if you're on a road trip with the wrong people, it can feel pretty uncomfortable. Because on a road trip, you're kind of stuck in this small, confined space with someone for a long period of time, typically, especially living in Prince George. If you want to go anywhere, you're in the vehicle for quite a while, right? You know, we get to do a number of road trips every year, and I'm so thankful that I love my wife, and we get along really well, and we love to talk together, because the road trip part of going to see family is one of the best things we do, because we love to talk together. We love to have that time when we can just hang out and just be friends together. It's wonderful. So it's a great space sometimes if we have the right person with us. So I wonder for you, if you were to think of your ultimate road trip companion, who would it be? Who would it be who you'd want to take on a road trip? Now, if Tom Cochran was right and life truly is a highway, who would you want to have on the road trip of life to travel with? You know, we talk so often about our life journey and this journey of life that we're on. We talk about the journey thing all the time. It kind of is getting a little overdone, frankly. But life is kind of like this journey where you start in one place, but you go through all these experiences that take you to an entirely different place. And so we do have this kind of journey that we walk, or a pilgrimage that we walk through life. And it's really great when we have someone to go along with us. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit today, is who is it that's on the road with us in the journey of life? Who's on the road trip of life with us? When I was away at Arrow in April, the Arrow leadership course that I'm taking, one of the things we did was in the middle of the week, and it's kind of an intensive week with lots of training and lots of teaching coming at you. You feel like you're getting hooked up to a fire hose and being told to drink. It's just nuts. So in the middle of the week, they had planned this one day where it wasn't like that. It was what they call a soul care day. And we had to take a couple hours of silence, no talking at all, which is really difficult for me, as you can imagine. No talking at all, just to sit with a passage of Scripture and listen for the voice of God. And in that time, we had Psalm 23 in front of us, which is the psalm we read together this morning. Just to be still and listen for what God would say to us in that time. And it was an incredible space for me. And one of the big questions that they kind of put out there to us in that whole day was, who is your shepherd? Who is the one who walks beside you, who leads you along the way? Who is the one who you have with you, walking with you through life? Who is your shepherd? Because frankly, we can have a lot of different things or people that we would place in our life and give that kind of space to. So who is your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? We're going to be reading Psalm 23 again. And as I read it out to you this time, in a few moments, I just want you to listen. Just listen. Quiet your mind a little bit and just listen for what God would say to you. Whether there's a phrase or a word or something that just stands out to you that he wants to say to you today. But before we do that, let's just pray, and we're going to ask him to speak and trust that he actually will speak as we read his word today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word to us, and that in it you reveal so much about yourself. We just pray, Lord, that as we open it up again today and read the words of Psalm 23, the words of King David, God, that we would hear your voice echoing through these words. That we would hear you speak the things to our hearts that we need to hear today. Lord, we just thank you so much that you do speak to us even today. And pray, Lord, that we would be attentive to hear your voice. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, there was my road trip picture. Isn't that awesome? It wasn't actually my road trip picture. It's just one I found on Google. But all right. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm just going to pause there for a moment. I'd like to know, was there something that stood out to you as we read that this morning? Something you needed to hear? Goodness and love is inescapable. He follows us with that. Yeah.
He guides us in the right paths. Guides
us in the right paths. Yeah. Yes, he does. He makes us lie in green pastures. Yeah, you know, we're gonna take this. There's sort of four things that as I was reading this kind of stand out to me about the things that the shepherd does. And the good shepherd, of course, being God, and the things that he does for us as our shepherd. But so four things that stand out to me. One is that he does lead us, like you were saying, Krista. He guides us in the right paths. So the good shepherd leads us. Now, what we need to understand about this psalm that we don't get living here, although we might get it a little more with the weather we've had recently, is that the context for the people who were reading this for the first time and singing this psalm was that they were a desert people. The people of Israel live in the wilderness where there is a whole lot of desert. There's a whole lot of places where there's not anything green. Large stretches where there aren't huge forests of trees around them and lots of green pastures that we would think are these lush meadows. It is a desert wilderness. So when we talk about him leading them in the right paths, we need to get the fact that this is really important for the sheep, because if the shepherd doesn't know where they need to go, they are going to die. They will not get what they need. So he leads them in the right paths. He leads them in the places where they need to go to get what they need, which is going to be water and grasses to feed on. He leads them in the right paths, which basically just means he gets them where they need to go. We went for a hike last weekend on Sunday with a couple families from the church. Had a great time. We went up to Fort George Canyon. Anyone ever done that hike out of Fort George Canyon? Beautiful hike, right? You all through the trees and stuff, and we didn't quite make it all the way to the canyon. We just got to the lookout, but because we left kind of late. But when we were driving out there, we were kind of all caravanning together. We had met at Tim Hortons in College Heights, and if you don't know where it is, you could drive out Highway 16 west, and then you take the Blackwater Road, which is the exit to West Lake, and then you turn off again left towards West Lake, and you follow West Lake Road, and you have a couple forks you come to, and as my father-in-law says, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. So you come to the forks in the road, and you have to follow it along towards the canyon parking lot. And we didn't program it into our GPS, but we had our GPS on so we could see the map as we were going. And so what we did is we were driving along, and the map was going. And there comes a place, and I remember this from the last time we were out there, where the GPS says there's a road where there is no road. And so you got to kind of go around and turn left and then keep going, kind of like this S-curve. And you're looking for, because on the GPS, it says there's actually a fork, and then they come together again and the road carries on. But if you look there, there's not even a trail. I don't know what the GPS was saying, but there was nothing to drive through there. And then there's a later part where we got close to the parking lot. Because of the logging they're doing out there, they've actually shifted where the road goes, and it's no longer where it used to be. So we were driving in one part where there was no road, according to the GPS. The GPS did not have it all together. Kind of like Apple Maps when they first came out. It had a lot of wrong directions and things that didn't exist. And when you think about that in terms of life, how often do we get the wrong directions for where we think we should be going? Whether from other people or from the things we're reading or from someone's advice, we don't have the right way to get where we need to go. Or we get off on the wrong foot or on the wrong path. The Good Shepherd is one who leads us in the right paths. He leads us to the places where we need to go because he knows the way. Some of the other things in life we have for direction are going to fail us. The Good Shepherd will not because he knows how to get us where we need to go. It's been kind of exciting, actually, over the last little while here at Lakewood, seeing the way that God has been leading and guiding some of our people, some of you guys, in the ways and the things that have been going on in your life. Whether choices about, you know, work and choices about, you know, moving our homes or choices about taking a step deeper in your walk with him or a step towards baptism or a step out in service for Jesus in a way that, you know, might cost you in a lot of ways, like leaving another job, leaving the city, whatever. It's been amazing to see God leading so many of our church family into some pretty significant things over the last few months even. How is God leading you today? Are you trusting that he will lead you on the right paths? The paths that will get you to where you need to go. He leads us. He knows the right way. He knows the right paths to get us where we need to go. So that's the first thing. The Good Shepherd leads. He guides us in the right paths. The second one then is that he refreshes us. And like Mike said, sometimes he actually does make us lie down. And on that day, when we were having our soul care day at Arrow, in the middle of the week, when I was having all this other stuff around me, that was the thing that stood out to me. I was reading this psalm, and I got, you know, as far as, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, he makes me lie down. I didn't even get the green pastures, Mike. I just got, he makes me lie down, and I had to stop. And it was a moment where God, in a sense, in the middle of that week, was making me lie down. Taking me away from my other responsibilities, taking me away from all sorts of other stuff and saying, you need to stop and you need to rest. This is the character of God. This is the character of the God that we serve. This is what's amazing about him. See, he's not a God who keeps demanding and demanding and demanding more and more and more of you. He's a God who says, here's the deal. 6 days of the week, I want you to work. And on the seventh day, you need to stop. And you need to rest. He's a God that mandated a break. Do you get that? Because a lot of times it doesn't seem like we get it because we actually choose to work every day of the week. Maybe not at your job, but we find stuff to fill every hour of every day so that we always stay busy and active. Heaven forbid we should have any downtime. But we serve a God and a shepherd who says, I will make you lie down. I'm going to make you take a break. So here's what happened to me. We had that day at Arrow. I finished off the week. I came home, and I was supposed to come back into church and had something to do on that day for the service. And on Saturday night, I got violently ill. We won't go into the details. Let's just say it was nasty. And I was feeling awful. I couldn't even get out of bed the next day. I made it all the way to the couch and lay back down. It is, I think, the first time I have ever actually been sick on a Sunday and not able to come to church. I've been sick before and still been here and, you know, fought through a cold or something, but I've never been physically unable to make it. And I was unable to make it that day. And I was, as I was lying on the couch, feeling guilty about not being here, I heard the voice of God saying, "He makes me lie down." Okay, I get it. There are times he makes us stop. And that's what the law about the Sabbath was about. It doesn't mean stop once you have everything finished or once you feel like you have all of your ducks in a row and every job all tidied up and all cleaned up so that you can set it aside. It means when the seventh day of the week comes, stop regardless of where you're at in the task. Some of you are looking at me like, "Are you nuts?" I didn't say it. He did. Sometimes we need permission to stop, regardless if we're done or not. Because if we always wait till everything's finished and everything's tidied up, we will not stop until we're lying in a pine box. That will be the one time we finally stop and lie down. So, stop and rest. He makes me lie down. Mark Buchanan wrote a great book a number of years ago called The Rest of God. And it doesn't mean the other parts of God that we didn't get before, not that rest of God. It's the rest of God that he gives to us to actually rest. God chose to rest. 6 days of creation, we're told. The seventh day, he rested. He stopped. In his book, Buchanan talks about not just stopping everything, but stopping to play, to find refreshing enjoyment in life. And so I wonder for you today, and let's throw out a couple of ideas here real quick. What would rest look like for you?
Reading,
okay?
On a lake fishing.
On a lake fishing, nice. Yeah, you guys up here.
Building Lego.
Building Lego, I like it.
Golfing.
Oh, you're a good kid, I like you. Yeah, in the back, Andrew. Playing sports. There's so many things we can do just to get away from what we do to rest. Stop the other stuff. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He refreshes us. This is what the Good Shepherd does. He doesn't work you to the bone. He doesn't keep driving you and driving you and driving you till you'll fall over. He gets you to lie down. He helps us to rest. He also protects us. There's lots of images in here, I think, where it kind of speaks to God's protection. It talks about, first of all, his rod and his staff. They comfort me, right? Having that rod and the staff there, the things that the shepherd uses to guide the sheep and also protect them from animals around them that would want to harm them. He protects us. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, again, backing up to that, the context of what it means for a desert people in the wilderness. The valley of the shadow of death could very well be an image that they would think of with walking through what are many wadis in that desert, where it's like a really steep valley, and you might have some water and some trees at the bottom, but when you get down the bottom of the wadi, it is incredibly hot. Like, it can be hot in the top. It is intensely hot in the bottom of the valley. And so even though we're going through this place where it's intensely hot, and it really is like the valley of the shadow of death, because if you stay down too long, you could probably die, he will lead you through that. In the middle of that space, he is there still guiding us on the right path, protecting us, caring for us. I love, too, that he sets a table for us, not just to provide for us, but he does it in the presence of our enemies. He sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In a place that's dangerous, God provides what I need. Isn't that cool? See, this is one of the big things I think sometimes we miss. Because in our society, we're really big on making sure we try and lock everything down, make sure everything is safe and secure, right? I mean, Google can create all kinds of random passwords for us to keep all of our information safe. We're always concerned about that. We get locks on our houses now. We get big security systems in our houses just to make sure it's safe. We get video surveillance now in our homes. We can have it on our iPhone if you want and kind of keep track of what's going on in your house. So we feel safe. We go to all kinds of lengths to make sure we are protected. The amazing thing is, God doesn't say, I will not put you in a dangerous space. But he says, I will be there with you in the dangerous space. So often in my life growing up in church, we always pray for protection for people, right? That they'll stay safe wherever they go, which is okay. But what we don't want to do is just pray that God will just take us to safe spaces. The safe spaces, there's no action. It's in the dangerous spaces where something's going on. See, Jesus, when he told us to go out and be salt and light in the world, light's not going to really make a difference if we're a little candle burning somewhere, if there's all sorts of fluorescence in the room. The place you notice a candle is when it's pitch black. That's the places he wants us to go, into the darkness, into the dangerous spaces. Shepherd walking with us and protecting us doesn't mean we never walk through the dangerous valley. It doesn't mean we don't walk through hard things. What it means is that we have a strong God who walks with us. The shepherd protects his sheep. And finally, fourth thing, the shepherd provides for and blesses the sheep. Again, I left this picture up and didn't put another one up for this one because I wanted us just to capture again that sense of what it is to walk in that space. This is a desert picture from somewhere in Israel. So you can see sort of that wadi idea with the stuff along the bottom, which is green, but it's intensely hot down there, but this huge deep valley cut in the desert. In this place, which might feel like a desert, God provides for us. What's interesting about this whole idea of provision and blessing is it kind of bookends the psalm a little bit, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, is how he starts. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It finishes off. The idea of the cup overflowing at the table, all that stuff. So he kind of bookends this psalm with this idea of God's provision or blessing for us, his sheep. The idea that we lack nothing. We have everything we need. We may not get everything we ask for or everything we want, but we have everything we need. We don't actually lack anything when God is our shepherd. God takes care of us. One of the things that, quite honestly, I struggle with a little bit, is realizing how well God cares for me. Here's what I mean. Here's just a couple thoughts about that. There's so often that we pray for things, right? We ask God to help us out with something. Maybe we ask him to help us out on a test, or there's some job thing going on, or some relationship that's kind of broken down. And so we ask God for his help. And we ask God to provide for a certain need because we're running low on cash for something or whatever. So we ask God for help. And I know what's true for me is it's so much easier to ask God for help than it is to remember to thank him once he helps. I don't know how that is for you, but to remember after the fact, especially when it's been a little while since I've asked, I may even forget that I asked him for help in the first place and may not even give him credit for helping. And so one of the things that I've found to be a pretty helpful practice, and I don't do it as often as I probably should, but I've started doing it more often than I did, is the discipline of choosing to give thanks. To look for the things that God has done and say thank you for them. I was pushed to do this for the first time in a significant way when I went on a personal retreat one day, and I was sitting there and I was following along this little book, which was called A Day Alone with the Lord. And in the book, it had a section on thankfulness and expressing thanks. And so, you know, it started off with like 10 things that you know, you're thankful for from the last week. Okay, 10 things. I can write down 10 things I'm thankful for. Here we go. You know, family and blah, 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 things that we did this week, things like that. And then it says, you know, reflect and pray about these things and give God thanks for these things. And so you do that. And you think, okay, great, now let's move on to the next section, whatever that is. And it's like, no, no, no. Now, write down 10 things you're thankful for that God is doing in your life. Okay, we can come up with another 10 things probably. It's going to be a little more of a stretch this time. Got to work a little harder at it, but another 10 things I'm thankful for. Again, same pattern, reflect. Give God thanks for these things and get ready to move on. Nope. Now let's write down another 10 things that you're thankful to God for. Pushing me to not just kind of do the things that are easy to spot on the surface, but to dive down a little deeper into what am I truly thankful for. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes to give God thanks this morning. So I want you to call out some things that you're thankful to God for, whether in this last... Actually, no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it over the last 24 hours, okay? God's got to have done something in the last 24 hours. I believe he has. So what is something you're thankful for to God for in the last 24 hours? Okay, so since yesterday morning. All right, let's call him out.
Rain.
Rain, right on. Sorry?
Patience.
Laughter.
That he's always there.
That he's always there, all right. That he looks after the baby birds. Yeah. Wow. I don't know if you guys heard that, but their cat killed the mother bird, and so they're hoping a daddy bird cares for him, but that God will look after those little birds. Yeah, God cares about even those little things. Yep. Other people, what are you thankful for?
Coffee.
Sorry?
Coffee.
Coffee. All right. This morning particularly, or... Right on. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, but Josiah's been speaking out of wilderness all this last week. This week too, right? Coming up? You're out there again. Yeah, right on. Anyone else? What are you thankful for? Relationships. Right on. Anything specific in that? Specific relationship? All right. The joy of being part of, yeah, God's family. That's great. Starting to run out of answers?
Arms.
I saw
kid the other day
where I work. Wow. I don't know if you guys heard it. He saw a kid at work the other day who had no arms. And so just to think about how amazing it is that you have arms. Yeah. Right on. So just even, yeah, Facebook pushing you into the Word. That's great. So here's what I'd like you to do, okay? Because I know we only have a little bit of time here and a few people called out. Take this exercise either home with you or during the response time. If you have a pen, you just want to write it on the handout. Think about three things is so easy. It is so easy to think of three things you're thankful for in the past 24 hours. Can you do 10? 20? 30? Push yourself to see how deep that will go, to realize what it is that God is doing, what he is providing you with, how it is he is blessing you, and choose to give him thanks. The Good Shepherd is one who provides for us. He blesses us. He cares for us. He takes care of all of our needs. He takes care of all of our needs. So, the Good Shepherd, he leads us. He refreshes us. He protects us, provides for us, he blesses us. Do you notice really this whole psalm is all about the shepherd? It's all about the shepherd. And the fact that the shepherd is good. He is good, and he's worthy of our trust. He is one who will lead and guide us in the right places and to the right ways. He is the one who will lead us in the midst of difficult circumstances or uncertainty. And let's be honest, I'm not going to call you out by name or situation, but there are a lot of people right now dealing with difficult circumstances and uncertainty within our church family even, and within our circles of influence outside of our church family. How many people you know who are going through a difficult time right now? How many people do you know who could use a road trip companion like the Good Shepherd to walk with them through this journey right now. As they walk through their own valley of the shadow of death, to have someone with them who would protect them and guide them in the right paths. Do you know that he'll do that for you? That God cares for you? And in the midst of whatever it is right now that you're going through and struggling with, he's got you. He's got you. I guess one question we could ask this morning is, will we allow God to shepherd us? There's a cool thing actually in this psalm. The word used for shepherd is a word that is used a lot of times in Hebrew also for king. And so, and the shepherd or the kings of Israel are often called the shepherds of Israel, and there's this real parallel brought between them. And what's amazing is the guy who's writing this is, of course, King David, who was really considered like the king over the glory years of Israel. He was the guy who they always looked back to as, oh, you know, the days of David, or even, you know, there's some references to he was faithful or unfaithful as a king like his father David, even though they're several generations removed. Because he was always looked back to as the faithful king, right? He was the guy. And David, the king over all these people, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is my king. I have all this power, but he is the one who is powerful over me. He chose, even though he had all this power, to surrender himself to the shepherding and leading of the Lord." And so, again, will we allow God to shepherd us? Who is your shepherd? Is it someone else? Is it something else? Is it you? Is everything in your life riding on you? And your abilities and your strengths and your just nose to the grindstone, we're going to get her done kind of mentality? Is it all about you? Or do you have another shepherd to carry you? God is a good shepherd, one who loves us, one who will care for us and help us through life. So as you go out of here today, later on, and as you're reflecting during our response time, ask yourself that, who is my shepherd? Truly. I don't mean that to be sort of a flippant question and go, well, of course God's my shepherd. Like, really think about it. In the moments and things that you've experienced even this week, is God your shepherd? Is he the one who's carrying and lifting you up? I want to pray for us today and just pray that these words, whichever ones it was that you needed to hear today, whether it was that you needed to hear that God will take you where you need to go because you're uncertain about where that path leads right now, whether it was the words of hearing that he's going to make you lie down and rest because, man, you are running and you are done, or whether it's that you're just in a place of just feeling like everything is hitting you so hard and there's so much against you and you need to know that God is walking with you to protect you, or whether it's that you feel like you've got nothing left and you need his provision right now, whatever it is, may God just speak that truth deeply into your heart. Let me pray for you today. Father, we are so thankful that you are good and that you shepherd us. You guide us. You refresh us. You protect us. You provide for us. May we know that this week and even today. Not just in our head, not just because we know it's true, but because we actually experience it. May we just surrender to you and see you work in us. And we just thank you so much for your loving care. In Jesus' name, amen.